Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. Scott, in this hour up until 1 p.m. Eastern time, we'll continue our draft discussions and our takeaways from the 2024 NFL Draft. What it all means now that we're not projecting out prospects or predicting where they will go in a mock draft of sorts. We now think how they will shape their organization in the NFL moving forward, and some big NFL news pertaining to some contracts yesterday around the National Football League. Travis Kelce got a nice raise. All of that's got in this hour up until 1 p.m. Eastern on Football Full Circle.
Yeah, I do find it amazing that they re-up with Kelce, who had some years left on his current contract, and then they had the GM, Veach, saying that he doesn't see any decline in Kelce. And I'm like, really? Check out his touchdown totals from last year, last 2 months of the regular season. Forget about the postseason. But okay, we got that. Yeah, isn't it nice, Ben, I'm done with the speculating on who's going where and all the trades that, you know, supposedly are going to be made and this and that. So it is nice to be able to just analyze the draft now. Now it's the projections on who won, who didn't win, and all this other stuff. I still say, Ben, when everything is said and done, the combination of Marvin Harrison Jr. and Bo Nix, which the Bears could have had, will be better than the combination of the two guys that they ended up drafting, Odunze and Caleb Williams. But we'll see.
Interesting. So, Scott, we haven't spoken in a couple of weeks here, so I look forward to getting your draft conversations and your thoughts on how things went in Detroit this past weekend. I would disagree with the statement you just made that Bo Nix and Marvin Harrison Jr., a better tandem than that of Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze, but that's what we'll do here in this hour. But as you said, Brett Veach saying there is no drop-off just yet for Travis Kelce. Some of the numbers in the regular season, not nearly as gaudy as we have come to expect from one of the star tight ends in the National Football League, but there is no denying his impact on the postseason or the fact that Kansas City has won 2 Super Bowl championships in the last 2 years, 3 in the previous 5. Travis Kelce gets his contract extension, 2-year deal worth just a little bit more than $34 million that on an annual average basis, Scott, makes Travis Kelce at more than $17 million a year, the highest paid tight end in the National Football League.
It's amazing, right? You know, somehow or another, this Kansas City team finds ways to get to find money. You know, that's the bottom line. They're in a stadium squabble where they might be moving out of their stadium because they don't want to spend money. And then the people there in Kansas City, you know, voted that down, this, that, what have you. And yet they just continue to be able to pay these players. Outside of Ty Hill, yeah, I wonder what Tyreek Hill is saying, right? You know, I asked for big time bucks 3 years ago, 2 years ago, and they said no, they couldn't afford me, so they shipped me out to Miami, you know, which has worked out well for him, but he hasn't won two Super Bowls like Kansas City has without him, and yet now they find money to re-sign, you know, whatever they want to say, but he is a declining Travis Kelce, so I don't think he's going to put up the monster numbers in a regular season over the next 2 years of his contract that he's got, that he put up the last two seasons, but you know, it is just amazing. We all hear salary cap issue, this, that, and what have you, but I've always said, Ben, when there's a will, there's a way, and there was a will to get this guy re-signed, and they did.
Yeah, and that is certainly what they did. So the offense for Kansas City will look relatively familiar this year and in the years moving forward. Scott, I like the deal for Kansas City, of course, paying their guy in Travis Kelce, some expert maneuvering from Brett Veach and that KC front office, to make the contract of Patrick Mahomes and Chris Jones not nearly as hefty as we have seen in terms of cap hits to allow them to compete. And their wide receiver room remains incredibly young and hopefully exciting. That's the thought with Xavier Worthy. The Chiefs also drafting a tight end in the fourth round, day number three of the 2024 NFL draft, to hopefully groom into the guy to replace Travis Kelce when either this two-year deal comes to a close or when his time in the National Football League comes to an end as well. So Kansas City's gotten one thing that stands out to me. I love what Kansas City did in the draft. I really, really do. Xavier Worthy at 28th overall, getting the better of that deal with Buffalo. Kingsley Suamataia, out of BYU, the big offensive lineman that can project out there on either side to keep Patrick Mahomes upright. I think KC had a shrewd draft, and one thing that always stands out to me, Scott, is the fact that despite winning two consecutive Lombardi trophies, the Chiefs are not the favorites entering this upcoming season in 2024 to make it three in a row. San Francisco has the better price to win Super Bowl 59 at plus 550, 50 cents in front of KC at 6-1.
Yeah, that was the same thing last year. You know, it's all based on motivation. And listen, I get it. You have to be motivated to be successful in sports, especially in football, since it's such a rugged sport. And, you know, the thinking is, okay, San Fran came so close, they're going to be extra motivated. And Kansas City's now won another Super Bowl. And where's their motivation with everything you said and done? That's what that number is based on, Ben. Because yeah. I got to tell you, if Kansas City and San Fran were to play today, I'd still bet Kansas City like I did last year. I mean, I still think Kansas City is the better team. I agree with it. I think their draft was tremendous. Now, whether these players turn out to be great, who knows? But I always tell people, I evaluated on, you know, what needs are your team, and did you draft players in those needs? And then you just kind of hope your front office knows how to pick the right player from that position. And to me, they did, you know, with the tight end, with the wide receiver. I thought that was dopey from Buffalo. And then picking up another offensive lineman, right? You can't never have too many offensive linemen.
Kingsley Suamataia is the offensive lineman out of BYU, who they drafted with the second to last pick in the second round. And then Jared Wiley was that tight end that I mentioned late in the fourth round as well, out of TCU, who, again, they really like the prospect, Scott. And I think it's great that you have that tight end prospect to continue to work forward still with Travis Kelce in the tail end of his NFL career, but still when it matters most, putting up those big numbers. So, Scott, as we go around the National Football League, we'll start to drive through the draft here as well. Now, I find one thing pretty interesting. You'll have the movement after the draft for teams around the NFL. We saw that with the Dallas Cowboys not selecting a running back, so they re-sign Ezekiel Elliott. What exactly the contract looks like awaits the physical that Zeke has to take back at the Star. You see the Jaguars cut a wide receiver after selecting Brian Thomas Jr. with that 23rd overall pick, letting go of Zay Jones. It's all of those moves, Scott, that will start to happen now that the draft is complete, that will shape these rosters in the coming months by the time we get to mini camps and OTAs and, of course, into training camp in late July.
Yeah, a little surprising with a couple of those moves. The Zeke thing, they must have known, Ben, that they were going to sign this guy, right? For no interest in all the running backs that were on the open market, and they showed no inclination at all. I don't know why it took them so long to sign Zeke, but they wanted to wait till after the draft for whatever reason. But they get him. I know Cowboy fans aren't too happy about that. And then Zay Jones, he had some off the field issues, and I think they just said, you know what, we don't need this. We got our guy from LSU. We're happy with our draft. So you're going to see a bunch of these guys salary cap wise. And then there's still a couple guys still out there, for teams that need a wide receiver if they want to take a flyer. Odell Beckham Jr., the one that comes to mind immediately. He is still out there. Didn't really show that much with Baltimore last year, but you want to take a flyer on a guy, I suppose. 1 year more removed from his knee surgery. Maybe he's a little bit better this year than last.
Yeah, and Scott, as we have discussed often, there is that NFL offseason calendar, right, where the big dates kind of feature the flurry of action and moves that you can expect. We would see that around the NFL draft. And some moves that we anticipated maybe happening around the National Football League draft, the movement of T. Higgins, Trey Hendrickson adds his names to disgruntled Cincinnati Bengals that have now demanded a trade at a point this offseason. There was a lot of chatter about the San Francisco 49ers maybe moving on from either Brandon Ayuk or Deebo Samuel, maybe from the time of the end of the opening round to night number two with the Buffalo Bills. That didn't happen. We'll continue that conversation and what it means from the draft here on out for the remainder of this NFL offseason on the other side of the break, live right here on Football Full Circle. Come back and join us on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. It's the draft aftermath around the National Football League. So, Scott, we talked about the maneuvers that might happen now that the 2024 NFL draft has come to a close. We both said, in so many words earlier on in this show, that Buffalo's trade with Kansas City was dumb. It made no sense. It allowed Kansas City to go get a guy that would feature prominently in its offense, the speedy Xavier Worthy, to make the competitor for Buffalo, the team that has knocked the Bills out of the postseason three of the past four NFL seasons, even better. And it also was strange just from the Buffalo perspective, moving back to 32nd overall, moving out of the first round entirely, and ending up with a selection of Keon Coleman, who I think can be a good wide receiver in the National Football League, but to slot in as your top wideout pretty much from day number one with the Super Bowl window hopefully still intact under Josh Allen, a peculiar move by Brandon Bean. And Scott, part of the reason I thought this move might end up making sense was because we heard the rumors and reports almost immediately after the end of the first round on Thursday night that Buffalo would use its additional draft assets and the next 20 hours or so to negotiate with teams around the league to maybe acquire and trade for that number one wide receiver. Cincinnati's T. Higgins, not happy with being placed under the franchise tag and demanding a trade, and maybe both of the Niners' wide receivers, Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel, being on that trading block. Instead, Buffalo doesn't make a trade. They pick 33rd overall. They select Keon Coleman. So, Scott, there's the Buffalo perspective of it, but what I want to ask you about is now T. Higgins, Deebo Samuel, and Brandon Ayuk. If they are to be moved at a certain point this offseason, when exactly in the calendar does it happen?
Yeah, you would think it would have happened by, well, I shouldn't say that. Let the draft happen and happen, then, give these teams a few days to kind of, all right, this is what we were hoping to do. This is what we weren't able to accomplish. Now let's go out and fulfill those needs via the draft. So there might be some teams that thought maybe they could, draft a big-time wide receiver if it fell their way, and it didn't. So now I would think it would happen sometime this week. San Fran's in an interesting plot here. They're a win-now team, obviously, right? But Ayuk's in the last year of his contract, and he's going to want big time bucks. And I don't know if the Niners, somehow or another, again, Kansas City can find all this money, but, you know, can ultimately, you know, San Francisco, who's not paying their quarterback anything, find enough money to satisfy Ayuk. And the situation probably says no, which is why you're hearing all these trade rumors. So I would think, though, like I said, Ben, you know, if it was going to happen, now the teams realize they don't have that guy that they were hoping to draft, that it would happen this week just to get it done with. But, you know, there's no incentive unless San Fran really wants to get rid. We'll just use Ayuk as the example. Unless you really want to get rid of him, you know, you could ask for the moon and the other team says no. You know, why would you give in now? You know, there's nothing going on now. All right. You don't want to give two first round draft choices. All right. You know, we'll pick this up again in June or July, maybe even August. You know, you're not near any kind of serious deadline outside of salary cap implications.
Yeah, it is very interesting because you have to wonder, right? And Scott, we know that timeline for a franchise tag player, I believe it is July 5th, to either decide that he's going to play under the franchise tag or hold out to try to renegotiate a short-term deal, in terms of you have until July 5th to try to renegotiate that long-term contract extension. But after that point, either you play under the tag, you don't play at all, and you hold out, or you hold out to a point like we saw last year with Saquon Barkley and or Josh Jacobs, where they were able to agree on a short-term deal that provided a couple of incentives that were worth more than what the franchise tag value ended up being for the running back slot. So that's really the timeline next, where you would think that's the end, that's the deadline. But does it happen before that? Is there anything in the NFL offseason calendar other than just the natural due of time that would alleviate or even accelerate these types of conversations? That's the part that I think is fascinating, where you would expect a lot of the movement to happen around the NFL draft. So, Scott, I think it's even further. Do you expect T. Higgins and the two in San Francisco, Brandon Ayuk and Debo Samuel, to play on the teams where they ended last season?
I think both will. I think both teams. They're win-now teams. They want to roll the dice. I'd be a little bit more surprised if San Fran traded away Ayuk than I would be T. Higgins with Cincinnati. But, it's hard to sell that to your team, right? Listen, he's under contract. We got him locked in. It's not necessarily salary cap situation with San Francisco. And who knows, who's to say that we're not going to, be able to re-sign him the following year? Who knows? So I'd be surprised. Cincinnati with Higgins, you have the Jamar Chase thing. You know, they already got Debo signed, so there's no other player they have to sign outside of their quarterback. But that's a couple years down the line. Whereas Cincinnati is looking at Chase. They're going to re-sign Jamar. So if we give T $30 million like he's asking for, and I don't think he's that good, Ben. But what does that mean? What are we going to do with Jamar Chase next year? Then give him $40 million? I mean, so I think Cincinnati might be a little bit more inclined to move on from Higgins. I'd be surprised if San Fran, though, was with Ayuk. With all these rumors, though, I was listening to some stuff up in Boston, and they were talking about how the Patriots were talking to them about Samuel more so than Ayuk, which I find a little amazing.
Yeah, it would be really interesting as well. You're right. Debo Samuel did agree to that contract extension last offseason, where that was the idea that maybe Debo Samuel wasn't happy and would force his way out. Debo Samuel is interesting because he also presents the versatile option of being involved in the rushing game and the ground attack and end arounds and all that good stuff. But he also then takes more of a beating than your typical wide receiver, I guess you could argue and say. So how does the value work? And I agree, Scott, when you look at T. Higgins, is he going to get paid as the best wide receiver in the NFL, top three wide receiver in the NFL? Is he worth that amount of money? Maybe not, but I think that's just the inflation of it all and where contracts tend to be going toward in the new NFL league years. The salary cap rises as the payouts rise, so too do those salaries, where maybe somebody is not the best, but they get paid as it because they are just in a different place in the market. I do think Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase would both elapse whatever T. Higgins is set to make, but it's probably going to be closer to $28 million than what he is seeing at this moment. So we'll go back to the NFL draft. We'll start to get our thoughts on where things set, what it means for Cincinnati, what moves they made in the draft. Vice versa, the Buffalo Bills, only one wide receiver taken, which I found a little bit interesting, and project moving forward for this next NFL season. That's next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. Scott, this is really our first chance to talk about anything that we saw in the 2024 NFL draft. So I ask you, which moves did you like, first round and beyond? Which moves maybe left you scratching your head in terms of those selections made by teams around the NFL?
Well, you got to start with the Falcons, right, as far as scratching your head. I mean, I'm not going to probably say anything that anyone else hasn't said over the last few days. Right. The mystifying thing to me about it, Ben, though, is that Michael Penix Jr. was going to be there, right? All the projections had him going late first round, early second round. His betting over under, not that the boys in Vegas know, you know, everything, but, you know, that gives you an example of how far down the line he was supposed to be drafted. You know, he's right around 32.5, 33.5, depending on where you do your shopping, right? Same thing with Bo Nix. So they knew that he was going to become available. It's not a guy that they said, oh my gosh, look who's in front of us. We're getting sent to draft, and we had no idea this guy was going to be in front of us. So why don't we just go out on a limb and draft this guy? So they must have known for a while that they were going to get Michael Penix Jr. But then if that's the case, then what are you doing with Kirk Cousins? I mean, what a bad message you're sending that locker room. You got a new head coach, a defensive guy, albeit he's been there before. I get it, Raheem Morris, but still, you're trying to turn the thing around a little bit, and you got all this great mojo going about Kirk Cousins. You won the sweepstakes for him, and then what happens? You know, a month later, you draft his successor, or are they going to split time? I mean, it's just, if you're Kirk Cousins, you're like, what are we doing here? And could you imagine, just for a second, if Bill Belichick got the head coaching job with the Atlanta Falcons, and they made this same move, Ben? I mean, everybody, you know, he's highly been criticized over his drafts over the years, and rightfully so, right? But they would just be killing Bill, saying, oh, it was another dumb Belichick draft decision. I mean, I can only imagine what they would be saying, even though it wouldn't ultimately have been him, because they did it anyway. So that's the head scratcher. I like Penix Jr. If he could stay healthy, he may be a great quarterback, but you know, if he's not going to play for the next 3 years, because you got Kirk Cousins locked in for $100 million guaranteed. That's a 2.5 years guaranteed, 3 years guaranteed, right? So you're not going to see a whole lot of Penix Jr. before you're going to have to decide if you're going to pick up his fifth-year option after his third year of sitting the bench. So it's a weird that's the weird thing. You know, we all love what Philadelphia did, being able to get those two defensive backs. I wish the Dolphins would have grabbed a kid out of Toledo, but they didn't, unfortunately, as a Dolphin fan. I like what Pittsburgh did with their offensive line, bolstering their offensive line. Do like that. And I ultimately like I'd like what the Giants did. I'm reading some stories about how the Giants were willing to trade up, them in Minnesota, offering a boatload to the Patriots, but ultimately staying at number six and drafting a wide receiver. And saying, you know what? We signed Daniel Jones last year. He missed last season for the most part. Let's give him weapons and help him out. And I'm okay with that philosophy versus drafting a quarterback, you know, for the future.
Yeah, I'm indifferent on the New York Giants. I don't mind the move. I think financially, investment-wise, it only makes sense, even if it's not going to pan out with success, to give Daniel Jones this season. Otherwise, in what world did you pay him for a year, $160 million? I understand you can get out after 2 years, this being the final year of that, but that would be looked back on as one of the worst offseason acquisitions we have seen in the last two decades in the National Football League if you were going to use that sixth overall pick to get a quarterback and already have his successor in place, where maybe Danny Dimes had already taken his last snap. And I do believe Malik Nabers is a supreme talent. What I find so interesting, Scott, in the conversation about the G-men, unlike the Falcons, if there was a team, though, that maybe didn't necessarily desperately need a quarterback because they had one at least to experiment a year with, that made a move that was a little bit unexpected, like drafting Michael Penix Jr. in the top 10, it would have been the New York Giants, in my estimation. Because what I find so fascinating about it all, Scott, is do Brian Daboll And Joe Shane, the general manager, Joe Shane, Brian Daboll, of course, the head coach, who won Coach of the Year in his rookie campaign in 2022, but last year was dismal, and this year does not look a lot more optimistic for the G-men. Do they just get this year as a pass? Or if this year is poor, if the Giants miss the playoffs, if they finish well below 500, 5-12, 6-11, maybe even 7-10, are Brian Daboll and Joe Shane brought back for their fourth year together? Will they be on a super hot seat entering year four, or could a dismal season for the G-men do them in? That's the question I'll ask you when we return here on Football Full Circle, as these are all the draft takeaways you can expect. The draft is done. What does it mean, and how does it further the conversation around the NFL? That's coming your way up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it's FFC. So, Scott, the conversation we just had about the New York Giants, who made a polarizing pick of Malik Nabers, sixth overall. I know a lot of Giants fans were maybe hoping to draft a quarterback if things could fall their way, or they could make some deals to have things fall their way in the top 10 of the 2024 NFL draft. Did not materialize. They select the wide receiver out of LSU in Malik Nabers. I know my co-host on the early line, Donnie Wrightside, was very critical of what the Giants did, understanding that Daniel Jones more than likely is not the future for New York. But as I told you before the break, you've invested in him. You have to give him some run. You're not maligned, hopefully, into giving him some run. You go back to the offseason entering the 2023 campaign where you convinced yourself that Daniel Jones was worth even remotely close to $40 million a year, and you hope to see that version of Danny Dimes in 2024, coming back from the neck injury and from the torn ACL that completely ended his 2023 campaign short. But again, Scott, you say those words, and I don't think there's many people, even maybe the most devout Giants fans, that would say they feel optimistic about Daniel Jones taking the opportunity and running with it.
Yeah, here's the issue, Ben. I brought this up with the Bears, and I'll ask you. If you had the ability to either have a Jamar Chase, a Justin Jefferson type of wide receiver, big-time wide receiver, right, or a quarterback like Trevor Lawrence, Baker Mayfield, a Kirk Cousins type, a good quarterback, but not great. Would you rather have the great wide receiver or the mediocre quarterback?
Do I get the mediocre quarterback with one of these great wide receivers, like a Kirk Cousins with Justin Jefferson in Minnesota?
Yeah.
Okay. I still think, Scott, I would elect for a great quarterback. I would take a great quarterback either even over the prospect.
But what about a mediocre quarterback? I don't consider Trevor Lawrence or Baker Mayfield great, but they're certainly above average, but they're not spectacular. They're above average. But I do consider Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson. Here's my thinking. My thinking is, the top three quarterbacks were gone. And by all accounts that we're reading, the Giants made efforts to move up. They tried to, get the third overall pick. So the top three guys were gone. You know, the chances of Michael Penix Jr., Bo Nix, or J.J. McCarthy, who would have been left on the table, being better versus a wide receiver who may theoretically be one of the best in the NFL, but he was the second guy chosen, consensus number two. I'd have the number two best wide receiver, because history shows me those great wide receivers, they are a step above. And the chances of one of those other three quarterbacks really being a great quarterback, it's not likely. It really isn't. So I think the Giants made the right move because of that. Whether they think Daniel Jones is going to be their quarterback in the future, who knows? But I'm willing to bet you that Nabers is going to be a better wide receiver in the league than those three quarterbacks will be in their careers.
I think it's a really good point. I actually think it's very, very sound reasoning, because let's look at the last time we saw five-plus quarterbacks go in the NFL draft. Of course, the six that we saw in the opening round this past Thursday in Detroit was the most ever in the modern draft era, all six going in the top 12. Maybe some had higher evaluations on a Penix, on a Nix, on a McCarthy even, than the New York Giants did outside of the top three. And I do like you, Scott, as we were looking at mock drafts and projecting how the first round might play out and how many QBs could go in the first 32 picks. We always said there was the clear delineation between the big three and the rest. We'll see how their careers play out, but so on and so forth. So as I was saying, in 2021, we saw five quarterbacks go in the first round, all five in the top 15. Trevor Lawrence, first overall. Zach Wilson, second overall. Trey Lance, third overall. Justin Fields, number 11. And Mac Jones rounding out that top 15. Only one of those quarterbacks, Scott, as each and every one of those guys will enter only year number four, not even out of their rookie contract. Only one of those quarterbacks taken in the first 15 picks will even take a snap or play for the team that drafted them this upcoming season. Of course, Zach Wilson now in Denver, Trey Lance now in Dallas, Justin Fields a member of the Steelers, and Mac Jones is backing up Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville. So you're spot on with the idea that not all six of these quarterbacks are about to be the faces of the franchise for their respective organizations or another for many, many years to come. So with that assessment based purely on draft capital, I do get your idea. I think Giants fans, or maybe if there was a high draft grade for a Penix Jr., for a Bo Nix, for a J.J. McCarthy, would have rather New York selected that QB, but maybe there wasn't. And that's why you get the guy that you feel is the best prospect that can help your franchise right away. Scott, I did ask you before the break as well, do Brian Daboll and Joe Shane get a pass if Daniel Jones is the quarterback we kind of all expect him to be in 2024, run of the mill, nothing great, not going to elevate your team to a winning record or a playoff appearance? If the Giants are, let's say, 6-11 this upcoming season, and when you look at the win total for New York for 2024, at this moment, it's not overly optimistic. It's 6.5, and the under has the hefty juice. So let's follow that. If New York is 6-11 in 2024, are Brian Daboll and Joe Shane back to lead that organization into 2025?
I think they are, especially Shane. I don't think they would whack him, but Daboll would be the one. But you know, he's going to be the benefactor of a lot of bad NFL or a lot of bad New York Giant head coaches, in that Joe Judge, 2 years out. Pat Shurmur, 2 years out. Ben McAdoo, 2 years out, really a year and a half out. I mean, they have zipped through head coaches, Ben. If they were to fire Daboll as well, that would be the fifth new head coach, not even counting Spagnuolo, the interim guy, and forget about Coughlin, who had a long career. You know, he retired 2015 or pushed out, however you want to describe it. But then it was McAdoo and Shurmur and Judge. And if they get rid of Daboll, you know, That's five head coaches in 9 years. I don't think the Giants would do that. One of the most stable franchises in the league. I think he would get the benefit of the doubt, and they would say, all right, one more year. Well, go ahead. You got one more year.
I would agree. I would think you would almost have to agree. I think Joe Shane and Brian Daboll could make the argument, hey, we didn't draft Daniel Jones. Sure, we extended him, but we didn't draft him. He's never been our guy. I think that excuse could come up. I don't think it's a warranted excuse, because they did extend him and invest into him. They were put into a precarious situation by the previous front office. Not only Daniel Jones, but the draft, of course, of Saquon Barkley, who was no longer in New York either. I would think they would get another season in 2025, but then the conversation begins again for New York. If it's not Daniel Jones who really emerges as that face of the franchise this year, Scott, then you're already looking to a quarterback in the 2025 NFL draft if you can get one.
Right, but that's not the worst thing in the world, right? If you draft a quarterback now, he's not going to play in front of Daniel Jones, right? So you're going to have Daniel Jones play this year, be awful. Then you got the quarterback that's going to come in, and you got to hope that he's going to be okay. And if he's not, now you've set yourself back another year. Whereas now, you draft a wide receiver. Is he going to make them a 10-win football team? No, he's not. He's going to need Daniel Jones to play well. So if Jones doesn't play well, at least in the next draft, next year, you know, you finish with 6 wins as projected. You get another top 10 pick, and now you go get your quarterback, and you already got your big-time wide receiver to pair him up with. So it's everyone wants to win right now.
Yeah.
I get that. But I think setting yourself up for the future, you're better off drafting the wide receiver because he's going to be on this team 5 years from now and not drafting the quarterback because he's going to sit the bench anyway behind Daniel Jones this year.
Yeah, that is the hope, right? And there's no guarantee just because he's not a quarterback that whatever draft pick you make in the first round, top 15, top 10, is going to amount to be that franchise staple for years to come. But that is the hope and often maybe a safer bet than working with a project quarterback hoping that they can reach that level you need to be to lead your team to playoff appearances in the National Football League. More on Football Full Circle comes your way after the commercial break here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. So, Scott, you said earlier in the show, and we can have the conversation now, that you would rather have Bo Nix and Marvin Harrison Jr. as a tandem than what Chicago ended up with at first overall Caleb Williams and ninth overall with Rome Odunze. Of course, Bo Nix and Marvin Harrison Jr. are not teammates. Bo Nix is in Denver. MHJ is out in Arizona. But that would lead us to believe, Scott, that maybe you're not as optimistic as most, including myself, are of the new wide receiver quarterback tandem in Chicago, as well as DJ Moore and Keenan Allen around out that wide receiver room for this Bears franchise. How come, Scott? Is there something that's holding you back from fully buying into Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze?
Yeah, you know, maybe it's just all the highlights. Not that I didn't watch some Washington games. I did. But, you know, all the highlights I see of Odunze is him out jumping someone, battling someone. Great, great one-on-one guy as far as you throw a jump ball, he's coming down with it, no matter how great the coverage is. But after a while, I got to say to myself, this guy's not getting separation. You know, if you're showing me 20,000 highlights of him being covered great, yet still being able to make the catch, while I appreciate that, I also say, well, how come he's not getting separation in college? That's the surprising thing to me. Two, you know, Harrison Jr., his father's a Hall of Famer. He's a really, really good player. Went to a really, really good program. The chances are very, very slim. He's not going to be a real stud in the NFL. So give me the stud wide receiver, like we talked about last segment, and then the secondary quarterback. Now, I did think Michael Penix Jr. would still be there. In the end, he was not. But I'm a Knicks guy, so I can live with Bo Nix. So I'll use him as the, you know, the classic one. He was still on the table when the Bears drafted again at number 9. So give me the Knicks combination with Marvin Harrison Jr., the complete stud, versus Caleb Williams, who you're hoping is going to be great. I don't know. You know, he puts up flashy numbers. Has he been successful winning games? No, he has not. They throw the football, you know, all over the place at USC. Their defense was atrocious, so he had to score and throw a lot of, you know, as much as he did. But I just think it's a question mark with Caleb Williams as much as it is with Michael Penix or Bo Nix, and I don't think there's a question mark with Harrison Jr. So I would have done that. I know it would have been kind of weird, but again, Ben, it goes back to, would you rather have Justin Jefferson or Trevor Lawrence or Ja'Marr Chase or Baker Mayfield? And I'll take the superstar wide receiver, and I'll deal with the decent quarterback. I'm not saying that Caleb Williams is going to be a bust or like any of these others that we've seen, the Mac Joneses of the world, but you know, give me the absolute, and I think the Bears had that in Harrison Jr.
So I would actually argue twofold. I think Rome Odunze is their lockstep with Marvin Harrison Jr. I think Rome Odunze is going to be a Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown, whatever wide receiver you want to throw into this conversation type in the National Football League. I think not only is Rome Odunze great at contested catches and taking the top off the defense, which was the nature of what Washington did with Michael Penix Jr. as their quarterback under Kalen DeBoer, or he is a fantastic route runner that can work inside and out. So I think Rome Odunze is that great wide receiver in this argument. I would also argue that Caleb Williams, if he is not better than your average Baker Mayfield or even Trevor Lawrence, who are both number one overall picks, so I understand why you make that point, then we have a huge, huge issue in Chicago. And I do think that Caleb Williams is better than both Trevor Lawrence and Baker Mayfield. At least that is the projection I have out there. Now, Trevor Lawrence was as can't miss as Caleb Williams ended up being, so maybe it's a little bit too soon, and maybe Trevor Lawrence in his fourth NFL season does really take that next step that we expected after his second year in the playoff run and the playoff win in dramatic fashion against the LA Chargers that never really materialized this past season because Trevor Lawrence was a little bit banged up. I think I'm a little bit more optimistic on Trevor Lawrence than maybe the rest of the NFL circle. I do think Caleb Williams, though, is also that great quarterback, not just your above average quarterback. I think when all is said and done, Caleb Williams, if not messed up by Chicago, and listen, the Bears don't have a great track record of having franchise quarterback after franchise quarterback or developing young promising prospect into that face of the franchise type generational talent. So there is some to be skeptical of, but I do believe Caleb Williams carries himself and is the guy, at least in the way that he plays the quarterback position, that does elevate Chicago. So in my estimation, Scott, I think the Bears were one of the winners of this 2024 NFL draft because they did not have to move up for Rome Odunze. Entering draft day, he wasn't even the favorite to go ninth overall anymore because he was expected to maybe be in the top five or at least not on the board by the time Chicago drafted, with more trades happening in the top 10 expected than what we saw actually come to fruition. So I thought the Bears were one of the winners, getting their face of the franchise generational type quarterback in Caleb Williams and not having to move up from number 9 overall and having Rome Odunze virtually fall into their lap. So I think they got great wide receiver and great quarterback, and thus I'm pretty pleased with what Chicago did and optimistic for the Bears' future.
All right, how about this then? And I'll throw it at you because I know you are more a fan of his than I am. But how about then the combination of Justin Fields as still your quarterback and Marvin Harrison and Rome Odunze as your wide receivers in addition to all the other guys that the Bears have?
Yeah, I would have been pleased with that. Like, I would have been optimistic for Justin Fields and Chicago just in essence. But it just became a point where I think the situation had soured so much on Justin Fields in Chicago. It was the right move to move on. Is he going to be a starting quarterback in Pittsburgh during his time there? Will he supplant Russell Wilson as the starter for the Steelers? I'm not entirely sure. Still optimistic that Justin Fields does have a successful future ahead in the National Football League. Do I think Caleb Williams is going to be better than Justin Fields in the long scheme of things? More than likely, yes, but maybe I'm a prisoner of the moment. I will say this, Scott, because we'll get into this conversation on the other side of the break. You and I spoke last offseason at Justin Fields and his passing yards prop for 2023. It was 2,875.5. I remember it because I bet it, and I said the words that if Justin Fields doesn't go over, then he can't be the face of the franchise moving forward. Because of injury, he went under. Caleb Williams is at 3,400.5. We'll talk about that season-long prop for his rookie year next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We're live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC. So, Scott, as we compare Caleb Williams to the quarterback class this year in 2024 and his predecessor in Chicago, Justin Fields, I said to you right before the break, and I bet this last year because the expectation was Justin Fields simply has to go over this number if he is going to continue to be the quarterback in Chicago. His preseason passing yards prop for 2023 was 2,875.5. Now, Justin Fields did not play every game last year due to injury, of course. He only played in 13, but he finished under that number with 2,562. And, of course, he is no longer the face of the franchise in the Windy City. Caleb Williams' passing yards prop for his rookie campaign is already well north by more than 500 yards. What the number was for Justin Fields even entering his season last year, his third of the National Football League. It's 3,400.5. So, Scott, when you put that into expectation, you can see they are expecting more out of Caleb Williams. And frankly, he has a better offensive unit all around him than Justin Fields ever did during his time with the Bears. And they're expected to take advantage of that.
Yeah, and listen, that was 33 and change last week before the draft, yeah. Even though the whole world knew he was going number one. I guess they didn't assume they were going to get Adunze. So, I loved it then, and I still love it, Ben. He will start, right? Game number one. I don't think Tyson Badgett or Brett Rypien is going to win out the starting job. So, he will be in there, barring injury, for 17 games. That's 200 yards literally a game. With that lineup, they got a pretty good offense with Swift in the backfield and DJ Moore. And remember, they got Keenan Allen as well. And now, obviously, Adunze, a good tight end in Cole Kmet. I mean, he's not going to throw for 200 yards, and he's going to go up against a Lions team a couple times that is going to score some points. Packers are going to be able to score some points. So he's going to be in, some semi shootouts. Boy, I like all the quarterback totals on FanDuel. The 3,400.5. I wish this was July, August, where I'd be more inclined to put my money aside. In April, it's kind of tough. Boy, I'm not going to be able to cash this ticket until January. So I hope these numbers stay the same. But like I said, these have moved already because there was 33 and change for Caleb Williams. But they got Jaden Daniels' numbers there and J.J. McCarthy's as well. Jaden Daniels figures to start right away, right? He's only at 3,075. Sure. I mean, that's 188 yards a game. He's not going to have that for Washington.
You got to think, right? Again, we're talking about at this day and age, Scott, in the National Football League. If you're a top 10 pick, you don't really get the grace period to sit on the bench and learn. I thought maybe even Anthony Richardson last year, the developmental project, fourth overall to Indianapolis, he started week number one. Of course, he had his rookie season cut short from a shoulder injury, but really the last guy that was drafted in the first 15 to sit on the bench at least for a year was Patrick Mahomes back in 2017. Pretty much everybody else has been out there. Some people have said Jordan Love. He was drafted 26th overall, and Aaron Rodgers was still there in Green Bay. It's not apples to apples from a guy like Bo Nix learning from Zach Wilson or Tyson Bagent getting the job over Caleb Williams or anybody they want to throw out there for the New England Patriots in front of Drake May. Aaron Rodgers is not comparable to any of those guys. All to say, Scott, if you drafted a quarterback and there were six of them in the top 12, more than likely they're starting from week number one. That is the expectation. And so one name really stands out to me. Actually, two. One because there is a prop, one because there isn't. Bo Nix at 2,850.5. Even with how things did not work out under the offensive-minded Sean Payton last year, Russell Wilson still threw for over 3,000 yards. And if Bo Nix is starting week number one, as we would expect, then he has to go over 2,850.5. Sean Payton needs to win. He's the offensive guru. It's not hope that we get to five wins and get ready for year number three. They've invested way too much in the head coach and the quarterback position. And one thing that also stands out, Scott, is the fact that Michael Penix Jr., despite being the eighth overall selection, does not have a passing yards prop, which tells us what? Kirk Cousins is the starting quarterback in Atlanta, and I feel bad for Penix Jr. even being in this situation. I think everybody has a right, a deserved right, to be very upset.
Yeah, that's just a weird. That's what I said earlier. What kind of message does that send in your locker room? He's got to be disappointed, right? He's thinking he's going to go to a team. There's so many teams that need quarterbacks that he's going to have a great chance to start, if not right away, then certainly by the next month or two. And that's not the case. No numbers for Drake May either for New England because Jacoby Brissett's there. He might not start right away.
I mean, because then what are you telling your franchise as well? Hey, we're content with five wins. You always want to try to win. I think Drake May's got to be that guy, certainly with a third overall pick. He's Scott Wetzel. I'm Ben Stevens. Football Full Circle is back. It starts tomorrow, noon Eastern time, here on Sports Grid Radio.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat, and boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.